Okay, let's do this thing.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
That's pretty cool, huh? Sounded like a football coach. It's cool.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh yes.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. Hello. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. Today's show is going to take us to the deepest of the valleys and the highest of the mountains, all in one show. I can't believe it's even possible. First of all, I want to start the show by expressing my anger and my disappointment. And I don't really care how you feel. I'm just going to do this for a quick minute. When the President of the United States tweets that the nut job in North Korea is not only a rocket man, but a little rocket man, and continues to say, "It won't be a problem for long because North Korea won't exist." When he uses terms like complete annihilation, it scares the hell out of everybody, except for North Korea. This is two psychopath kids playing in the schoolyard with nuclear weapons. And I don't care whether you voted for this guy or not, this Trump guy. He didn't create the North Korea problem, but he's plummeting us into the deeper cess of it. What one must understand, having traveled to the Asian area, the Far East, these countries, they survive on respect and tradition and honor. And I don't care how crazy a nut job Kim is, you don't have to disrespect and dishonor an individual and his country when he's got nuclear weapons or is on the threshold thereof. There's no reason for it. There's no reason for it. You think that you're going to talk him and other countries into creating a coalition of love and peace? There's no reason for this, except for a Trump guy to get his rocks off on being Mr. Macho Stupid Man. Trump, you're a little rocket man yourself, and you're playing with our rockets. And what you don't understand is when you threaten complete annihilation of North Korea, that's a threat. And you're lowering yourself to the schoolyard bullying threats of your opposition. And then at the end of the speech given just yesterday, Mr. Trump says, "Don't worry, my fellow Americans, I've got you protected." That's right. You annihilate North Korea, then you're annihilating South Korea. You're annihilating Japan. And perhaps other countries in the region as well, in addition to ticking off China like you wouldn't believe. These are not smart things. The man is going to destroy us. And I'll tell you something else. I hate to get serious, I really do, but I mean it's necessary for people to express themselves. And speaking of expressing yourself, there are some NFL players, some football players, who choose not to stand during the national anthem and put their hand over their heart and all that. Instead, they kneel. Now, you know, they're making a statement, whatever. What Trump doesn't seem to understand is that this country is founded and based upon the ability to do that in a peaceful fashion. These guys aren't disrupting the national anthem for those that wish to stand. They're simply quietly not participating in it. And Trump says these quote-unquote sons of bitches, I've never heard a president talk like this before, by the way. These quote-unquote sons of bitches, referring to the NFL players that do not salute the flag, they should be fired or suspended. Get these sons of bitches out of here. Let me tell you something, Don. In this country, we salute the flag because we want to salute the flag. And if we peacefully don't, we don't get penalized for doing so. I happen to love this country. I often salute the flag, although I don't have to salute a flag in order to love a country. To me, that's a little much to salute a symbol of cloth. However, I salute the flag because I want to salute the flag, not because I have to, not because I'm forced to. That isn't America. The idea was not to force people to do things as long as it's done peacefully. It's just a sad, disappointing situation. And anybody that voted for this Trump guy, I hope that someday you will not personally feel responsible for what may occur. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Let's move on with the show, shall we? No? Yes? Okay, fine. Here we go.
You are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. But you need to know that it's okay. We all make mistakes, and we must learn to forgive ourselves. The universe wants us to be happy, whether or not we listen to the Ron Van Dam Show. Nothing is forever, including the Ron Van Dam Show. You will be fine. The universe will try to forget about this one.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. Hey, I got a phone call on Friday, which really floored me in so many different ways. I got to tell you this funny story.
Okay, get comfortable, everybody. It's time for one of Ron's funny stories.
So I'm sitting at home on my computer last week. I go to the bank personally. I walk into the bank branch because it makes me feel like I'm visiting my money. whether it's a dollar or $100 or $1,000 or $10,000, I need every once in a while to visit my money. I'm not comfortable with my money being online through a bank that I'm not visiting. I want to go into the bank and I want to see people protecting my money. I want to feel my money. These people have my money. They're holding it for me. They used to make it grow. Now they just hold it for me. I had a deposit to make, which, you know, that's how I live. I put money in my account. So I go in there, and I'm standing there, and there were like four people online at this bank, and there were two tellers. One teller was handling some shopkeeper's payroll or something, which takes like some time. And the other one was doing the general transactions that I was interested in, just making a deposit. That's all, just making a deposit. Four people in front of me. It's taken some time. I'm looking at my watch. I was just going to drop in and visit my money and make a deposit. But I'm there for about 10 minutes. And I thought that was lengthy. Now, it's not usually like that at this bank. It's usually very swift. And I'm usually very comfortable with the bank. A week later, last Friday, it was before that. I get a survey online, and it says, "How is your banking experience with us?" And I'll tell you the name of the bank. It's Eastern Bank. I live in Massachusetts. Eastern Bank. There's quite a few of these branches around the whole state, and I guess there's a couple out of state as well. It's a New England kind of bank thing, and they're usually very good. So they say, would you please take this survey? And, you know, my idea of surveys is that companies and establishments, they just send you surveys to fill out to make you feel like you're participating. They don't give a crap what you're saying. They say, oh, here's a throw it out. I said, what the hell? So I fill this thing out, and it says, you know, how was your banking experience? And I didn't rate it real high. I rated it, like, right in between. You know, a 10 would be wonderful. A 0 would be awful. It was a 5. And then it said, how can we improve our experience? And I said, I don't know. Not a big deal. I just had to wait longer than usual, and I was in a rush. That's what I wrote in the little comment section. Well, last Friday, I get a phone call from Eastern Bank, and my immediate reaction is, oh, my God, they lost my money. I'm sorry, Mr. Van Dam. I know you have an account with us, and I can't find it anymore. We might have dropped your money behind a couch in the bank branch. We don't know what happened to your money. I'm sorry, Mr. Van Dam. We just lost it. This happens every once in a while. We lose people's money, like just like you lose your car keys or something like that. You know, we apologize. Sorry. Well, that's not what the call was about, but that was my immediate fear. Oh, my God, they're calling because there's something wrong with my money. Anyway, phone rings, and there's this lady on the phone, and she says, Mr. Van Dam? I said, yes. And I thought it was a telemarketer, you know. I thought, oh, my God, here we go. Here we go. I don't know. I don't want replacement windows. No, I don't need a bank loan. No, 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 no. No, I don't want to donate. I already gave, I'll say, even though I didn't. That usually gets them to go away. I said, Madame, would you like to donate? I already gave to whatever you're saying. Bye. But this is a lady, and she says, hello, I'm so-and-so from Eastern Bank. And I said, hello, Mrs. So-and-so. She says, you filled out a survey about a week ago about a recent visit to our branch. I'm actually calling from the branch that you were referring to. I said, oh, my God. Now I have to face the music because I didn't make a really, really good review. It wasn't scathing, but it wasn't perfect. She says, Mr. Van Dam, we understand that you were dissatisfied with your last visit to our branch. I said, well, I wasn't dissatisfied, but I also wasn't satisfied. I was right in the middle. As a matter of fact, that's how I scored it. And I explained that it's no big deal. It's not horrible. I'm not taking my money out. It's just I had to wait longer than I usually do. She says, we're doing everything at Eastern Bank to make the experience more efficient for you and more enjoyable. And she gave me like all different things that they're doing. Like if there's a bank officer that's not engaged, then that bank officer is going to jump behind the teller's desk there and do transactions just like the tellers. We'll get the custodian. If he's not sweeping the floor, we'll get him to do some trans. I mean, we'll do everything we can, Mr. Van Dam, in order to make you satisfied. I said, well, how about sex with one of your prettier tellers? I didn't say that, but I wanted to, but I didn't. Because I don't know if I'd be satisfied with that either, to be honest with you. Sure, immediately so, I'd probably mark down a 10, but then after thinking about it, it might only be a 3. She says, if there's anything we can... I said, well, you don't really have to do anything. It was just one of those days. It's, you know, not a big deal. She says, well, we take it very personally when we get a review that is not perfect, and we call and we make sure that you're totally satisfied, and we do everything we can do to make you... I said, all right, I get it. And then the phone call ended, and my immediate reaction was, wow, they like bagged me here. They bagged me. They made me explain why I wasn't happy. They bagged me. But then I thought, oh my God, wait a second. This is like the best customer service ever. They are the best bank ever. When's the last time you did a survey and you didn't give someone like 5 stars or 10 stars, whatever it is, and they actually called you back and said, what can we do to bring it up to the top rating? What can we do, Mr. Who does that? Eastern Bank does. And I thought, okay. Now, I know that the lady at the bank, she's probably a bank officer at that particular branch, I know she didn't say to herself, oh my God, look at this survey. Mr. Van Dam doesn't love us. Oh my God. Oh my God, he doesn't love us like he should. I've got to call him right away. I don't want him to feel so frustrated. Oh, Mr. Van Dam, I'm sorry I ruined your life and your outlook on life and outlook on banking. I'm so sorry. I can't believe I did this to you. I'm sure that's not what happened. I'm sure that the president of Eastern Bank, sitting in some kind of executive office in the top of a large building somewhere, probably said, hey, you know, customer service policy here. Now, you know, if somebody complains about something, call them up. That's what I'm telling you to do, Mrs. Banks. Just call them up. I don't give a crap about these people. Just call them up and make them feel like they're important or something. It's just a phone call. Well, yeah, Mr. President, you know, maybe that was handed down to you. That's the rules of everybody that works at your Eastern Bank branches. But the lasting result for me is, okay, man, you did it. You took care of the problem. And I may go into another one of their branches someday, and it may be a little bit slow. But I think I learned my lesson. Of course, though, I won't give them a top rating so that I can get another phone call. Because you know why? I love it when people grovel. I love it when they get down on their knees. Not like an NFL player. When they get down on their knees and they hug my pant legs and they kiss my shoes. Oh, Mr. Van Dam, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry that this happened to you. I am so sorry. I want to be so sorry. I am so sorry.
And that was another funny story from Ron. Wait, that was supposed to be funny? Wow.
How old is she? Yeah, you're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. We do this every single weekday, unless it's a holiday. Then I just sleep a little later and it doesn't happen. But usually, Monday through Friday, we do this. And it's internet radio podcasting, so you don't have to listen to the show and then you missed it. Or, you know, like, oh my God, he was on at 10 and I forgot to listen to him. No, you can listen to this anytime you want. It's like this show is on demand, along with other wonderful talk shows on NewEnglandBroadcasting.com and NewEnglandTalkRadio.com. visit those two sites and have a ball with us, literally. Or you can go to iTunes or TuneIn Radio, or you can go to the Podbean Network, podbean.com, or, oh, this is cool, you can go to your Alexa thing, your Amazon Alexa, and say you want to listen to the show, and it'll play it. I know, it's so cool. It's so cool. Suckle, suckle. If you want to contact me for any reason, and I don't respond ever, it's ronvandamshow@gmail.com, ronvandamshow@gmail.com. If you'd like to be a guest on this program or any of the other programs that we feature on this network, or perhaps you want to do a podcast, well, I don't think so, but it's possible, we can talk about it. ronvandamshow@gmail.com. You can go to New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. That's New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show on Facebook. There's no reason to do it, but it's there. I paid somebody to make the page, so they told me I should announce it every once in a while. Also, this coming Friday, September 28th, there's an event taking place. One of my friends, Mark Schipetta, who's on the show every once in a while, he's a media guy and a private detective, which is a very, very interesting. He's a private eye. He's a private dick. Well, actually, he's a public dick. Mark has put together this incredible comedy show featuring Lenny Clark, a New England comedian, and it was on some national television programs. J.J. Walker, Jimmy Walker from Good Times. He does stand-up. He'll be there as well, as well as many other comedians. That's happening this Friday, September 28th, at the Plymouth Memorial Hall in Plymouth, Massachusetts. It's easy to find. All proceeds go to the Duchenne Muscular Dystrophy, which is, Mark's very concerned about that because his twin kids both have it, and they're confined to wheelchairs for the rest of their lives, and it's difficult. So, trying to raise money. Tickets are $75. I know it's a little hefty, but it's the cause, and you can use it as a tax deduction as well. That's Friday, September 28th, at Plymouth Memorial Hall. You can just go on your internet there and look for Plymouth Memorial Hall, Plymouth, Massachusetts, and you can get your tickets that way. Or Comedy for a Cause. That's with K's. You know, Comedy with a K, Cause with a K. I don't know why. I don't know why he did that, but anyway, you can look for that as well and get your tickets that way. And they'll also be available at the door, but I suggest you get them ahead of time because it could get sold out because those are some pretty heavy headliners, comedy-wise. My guest today, coming up rather soon, is Sharon Miller. She's been on the show before. She's with Bank of America. Speaking of banks, right? Right? She heads the small business department at Bank of America, and we're going to be talking today about women entrepreneurs, women in business, and how that climate has changed over the years. We're going to get into a pretty significant conversation about that. Sharon Miller is going to join us very, very shortly. As a matter of fact, probably even shorter than you can imagine. But first, we're going to take this short commercial break.
Gentlemen, you know that when you decide to get engaged, you'll be making one of the most important investments of your life. Think about it. From the moment you get down on bended knee and present the ring, how much you actually love someone will be judged solely on the size of the stone you buy. And not just by the one you love, but by literally everyone she knows. And strangers. At Schlickershek the Jewelers, we know that when you're about to cough up what amounts to a few months' rent to obtain the exclusive naming rights to a vagina, you want to be able to be sure that you've made the best choice. So if you've decided it's time to staple gun your man tackle to a single hitching post and to never be able to experience the simple joy of a meaningless hookup without handing over half your stuff, come to Schlickershek the Jewelers and see our amazing line of certified, high-quality, shallow female ego strokers. Take it from me, Herbert Schlickerschechter. I'm not just your local jeweler. I've been married 6.5 times. Vegas marriages, boys. Very easy to annul when the shrew goes south on you. And she will.
Hi, Sharon. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Sharon's been with us before. She is the head of Yes, you have. She's the head of small business, Bank of America, and an impressive person. And we're kind of talking about similar things, and that's about, so to speak, the glass ceiling being broken. I love that phrase. I don't even know what it means, but it's sounds good.
Sounds good.
Well, we're breaking barriers. We're going beyond what we have right now. And to be honest with you, I mean, before we even talk about this, we're talking about women entrepreneurs and women in business. We're becoming more equal and profound in their roles. I totally never got this whole subject. I mean, I don't understand why we're even concerned about something like this to the point where this just should be anyway. And when we talk about these goals and what's going to happen in the next 20 years, I'm kind of mad that we even have to talk about this, that it isn't just that way anyway. I kind of don't get it.
Exactly. I mean, it's certainly encouraging, the findings that we did have, but you're right. I mean, it should just be this way.
I understand. I mean, you know, when you're raising a child, I get that with the maternity leave, men can't do that. But after that period of time, I don't understand why that's even an issue about that equality and that. I don't know. I don't get it. Anyway, let's talk about it anyway. We have gotten further than we have in the past in 2017. What does the future look like?
So, I mean, what we're finding is that the rules of business are changing, and women are certainly there at the front of that.
Yeah.
You know, I, like you just said, you know, we shouldn't be talking about this anyways because it should already be.
Yeah.
I have a daughter who's 8 years old, and when I look at this study and I see the key findings, it certainly makes me encouraged for her future.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, even just you know, when you think about STEM, the STEM fields, which science, technology, engineering,
yes,
math, what we found over the next 20 years was that 80% believe, 80% of women that we surveyed, mm-hmm, believe that there will be just as many or more women in the STEM fields,
yes,
than there are men. And so today it's typically, you know, when you think of STEM, you think of men in those fields. But again, whether you're in the technology business or you're serving technology, I mean, that's a huge, fast-growing segment of our market anyways.
Yes.
And then the other piece is 68% believe that women will match or exceed men in C-suites. So, mm-hmm, CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, today it's about 6.4%.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about at least match or exceed over the next 20 years, that's a huge increase. And so today we're not even close. And, you know, on the issue of pay equality, you know, mm-hmm, there's many companies out there that just aren't doing that. And
right,
so the good news is over the next 20 years, women feel empowered, they feel optimistic,
yes,
and that this is going to happen. And it makes me encouraged.
Yeah, well, it is happening. And you're right. There are two components into this equality. One is actually holding those jobs, and the other is being paid accordingly. And we're kind of just breaking the ceiling now on the second part. Unfortunately, that's a slower process.
That's right. And I mean, I was just last week on a panel in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And so two interesting things about that. One, I was on a panel with a woman who was one of the largest construction firm owners in Chicago, which, you know, it's again back to STEM, right? I mean, I don't typically think of a woman owning a huge construction company,
uh-huh,
which is, I mean, that's pretty cool in itself. And then the second thing is that, you know, there was a discussion around pay equality, and there was an example given at this forum of a very well-known company, publicly traded company out there, that you know, prided itself on, you know, no, we don't, we're this company, and so
right,
we don't do that. Like, everybody's paid equally, and,
yes,
you know, we don't do any of that. Well, when the reality came, the CEO, they were challenged to go look at their own books and,
uh-huh,
see really what is it, and what they found was there was a gap. And, you know, that was a year ago, and that right. the CEO doing the right thing, right, said, I'm going to close that gap immediately, which, mm-hmm. as he should. But what happens is then these companies are acquiring others, and so, you know, he's mm-hmm. got to look at those books every 6 months, because as you start to acquire others, you yes. see that it happens. And so, you know, but great companies, what are they doing? They're actually doing something about it. So I think, you know, we've got to know that it's not today, in all cases equal. And so I think it's a bright future for our daughters.
Definitely. The future is always brighter in certain discussions. And this is one of them. The other subject is the question of how women juggle home life and business life, and you know, that also kind of infuriates me. Why isn't the question how does the male juggle home life? How does the father juggle being a father at home and having a professional career? We don't talk about that. I don't get that part, but I guess that's part of the discussion.
Well, we asked about it, though, right? I mean, so work-life balance was something we did ask about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, first of all, to me, I mean, I'm a mother, I work, and, right. you know, it's every day is a, you know, am I going to balance which way, right? Am I going to, you know, I think it's a daily ask. And so 61% of the women said that they're working more than 40 hours a week, which, you know what? Look, when you're doing what you love and you have your own business, it doesn't feel like work. And correct. So that's what I hear from my clients across the country, that all intersects. My family life, my work life, it all comes together. Well, and 78% of business owners that are women said that they have achieved a good balance between their work and home, which is very cool. But that trailed behind men. So men on a higher percentage said that I've got better work-life balance. So, you know, I think over time, as you own your own business, as you can make your own decisions, and we didn't ask this time, how does it make you feel, but empowered, right? Yeah. I have control. And that's part of that balance. You know, and I was talking to a friend this morning, and, you know, last night I was with my daughter, and she said, Mom, are you going to be at my play in October? And I said, wow, let me look. And I looked at my calendar. Sure enough, I had travel scheduled. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, working for a company like Bank of America, thank goodness I do, because I know I can go to my boss today and say, look, you know, my daughter, in 10 years from now, nobody's going to care that I was at this meeting, but there's certainly my daughter's going to give me a hard time, because it's a big deal to her, right?
Yeah.
So I work for a great company that'll tell me, I know my boss, will say, no, just, you know, stay. You don't need to go. But if I'm a business owner and I own my own business, I don't have to worry about going to my boss, right? I could have made that own decision. So that's very cool. And I think the environment that we're in today is very different than we were, even our mothers were in.
I agree with you. Well, when you own your own business or you're an entrepreneur, obviously you make your own hours. And when you have to ask a boss, that's a different story. You know, I got to tell you, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, my first work experiences, and I had two children, and I picked up the kids after school, and my wife, we alternated. I had to get home in the evening so she could go do what she had to do professionally, and during the day she worked as well, and I had to bring the kids to soccer practice and stuff myself as well. We equaled that thing right down the middle. And I kind of think that we went backwards a little bit, and now all of a sudden we're discussing it again as if that equal thing wasn't a given. It's just kind of interesting in that sense to me.
It is interesting. I mean, I think, you know, again, back to sort of it's an everyday thing. I mean, and it takes a village. And, you know, when you have, I have two kids as well, and, you know, 8 and 11, and a son and a daughter. And so it's... you know, and their father, I mean, we have to talk about it every day. My father, I mean, grandparents, I mean, there's everyone involved, especially when you're both working outside the home.
Yeah.
And so it is a balance.
Yeah. All right. We're out of time a little bit here, but I'm glad you're discussing this and bringing this to light, because if you don't recognize it, then things don't change and things don't progress. How do we get more information about this?
You can go to bankofamerica.com, and at the top there's a small business tab that you can click on, or go to bankofamerica.com /small business. There's this report, and then there's also a lot of different tools on there that you can check out for your business owners, and whether you're just getting started or you've been in business, you know, 100 years, there's a lot on that site.
Yeah, there is support for businesses of all sizes, and that's one of the great things about what you do. And thank you again for speaking to us, Sharon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you to Sharon Miller for that interesting conversation. That conversation is important, and that subject matter does piss me off. A lot of things are pissing me off these days because I don't understand what the problem is. I just don't get it. Why do people make so... I mean, I complain about things, but why can't we just like understand each other? Why do I have to have these thoughts of like nuclear proliferation or prophylactics or something, proliferation? Why does that even come up? Why doesn't somebody in these governments just sit down and talk this thing out instead of yelling at each other and demeaning each other and calling each other childish names and trying to irk the other on into a worse situation? Why can't a team of people just sit down and talk this freaking thing out? God. I don't get that. And why is it that women are not paid as much as men? I mean, like, how is that even possible? Why would they not be? They perform the same job. Why are we even talking about this? Why is that even a question? Who would even say women should not be paid as much? Nobody's really even on the other side of that. So, like, where are we here? Why is this a problem? I don't get you people, not you. My listeners are wonderful people. But the rest of you, I don't get it. You know, it's funny. When I'm walking my dog in a park and I meet another person walking their dog in the park, 40% of the time, this phrase will come up. And the phrase is, I like dogs, I like animals more than people. That phrase comes up a lot. And the people that say that really mean it. And you know why? Because animals, as nasty as they can be, I mean, in the wild, they'll chew each other up. I mean, their animals are not wonderful. But animals are not civilized. Human beings are supposed to be this higher level of people. Well, they are because they're people, that's why. This higher level of beings. Human beings are supposed to be on this higher. And yet we act like animals. Just, what's your problem, man? Love people. Enjoy them. Enjoy your animals. Have a nice meal. Enjoy your food. Have a little drink here and there. Have some hobbies. Take a deep breath. Be happy that you're on a living, breathing planet that we are, by the way, destroying every day. I mean, what's even up with that? I don't understand. I came into this world with these gigantic bright eyes of hope and love. And wonderment. And I will leave this world with the opposite. With bereavement. A total, unbelievable misunderstanding of what this really was supposed to be. I'm very disappointed in the human race. I'm very disappointed in you people in the human race. Because it doesn't have to be like that. Okay, kids, I'm out of time for today. I feel like I'm the Pope and I'm pontificating, and I don't want to pontificate in front of you. That's awful. pontificating should be in private, but then it's not pontificating, is it? I'm a private pontificator. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace, I really do. Before we leave today, though, I'd ask you to take a short survey. Are you ready for the survey questions? Here we go. Question number one, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being wonderful, 1 being horrible, how long did you have to wait for this show to begin when you clicked it? All right, rate me now. Did the show start right away? If it did, give me a 10. If you had to wait like 7 minutes, give me like a 0 or a 1 or something. Okay, question number two. Did you notice at any point during the show that I was not wearing pants? 10, you noticed that immediately. 1, you had no idea. I'd do doing this whole show without pants on, and then you had no idea whatsoever. Okay, question number 3. Did you learn something from today's show and then immediately forget it? That would be a 10. Or a 1 would be, did you learn something about from today's show and you didn't care really about what you learned, or you really didn't even know what you were doing when you clicked on the show to begin with? You thought that there was going to be a free trip to Bermuda. Question number 4. I don't have a question number 4. That's kind of stupid. I figure if I did 1 through 3, I'd have 4. But I don't. Oh, well. Whatever. Question 5. Did you know that I wouldn't have a question 4? You know you never got my young beard. Now, if you have any comments that you want to make, write it down on a piece of paper. Any comments about the show, any improvements you would like to hear, write it on a piece of paper. And then put your pen down, crumple up the piece of paper, and throw it in the garbage. You'll save me a lot of time.